Would you pray with me? Father, we've come into this place to praise your great name. And we thank you for the name of Jesus, because it is through the name of Jesus that we do have healing, that there is power, that there is deliverance, and that there is freedom. And Father, we live in a world that wants to take his name out, but we want to proclaim it. And so we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would empower us, and that we would stand for the name of Jesus no matter what comes our way. Father, increase in us, we pray. Help us this morning as we take a look in your scriptures, and we pray that you would teach us, and that we would be willing to learn for you, for your sake. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be in the book of Galatians this morning. If you do not have the message notes, there may still be a few of them back there. But we are in the book of Galatians. It says chapter 2 and chapter 3. We're actually going to start chapter 1. We're not going to read everything, okay? So be calm. We're talking about legalized liberty. How many of you think that we are free? Oh, come on, Americans. Are we free? We're not free to do everything that we want, correct? That's not what freedom means. Freedom does not mean that we can do whatever we want and everybody else has to bow down and worship us. But that's how we think of freedom. Freedom means that we are able to be liberated. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be liberals, okay? But we do need to be liberated. We need to be set free. And the first phrase I want to give you is that Jesus gives us liberty. Jesus gives us liberty. And that's almost a given. That's almost something that we just assume. Paul has made the statement about Jesus giving us freedom. And so he doesn't repeat that as he starts out the book of Galatians. But that's really what he is driving at. And I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page together, because Paul states his thesis to the church at Galatia, and he does so very quickly. He opens up his letter, you know, grace and peace to you, and hope everything's going well. And then he goes, bam, and he hits them right where he wants them to know where he's coming from. He starts at verse 6, he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, this hits us all square in the face, because this goes against many things that we have been brought up to think. Now, don't get me wrong. When he says, you know, chasing after another gospel, we know what the gospel is. Let's get the gospel down. The gospel is God's good news. That's what gospel means. Good news that Jesus came to die for our sins. Because of our sins, we are separated from God. And Jesus comes to bridge that separation. He comes to give us an opportunity to have fellowship with God once again. And so although none of us is worthy because of our sin, Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin so that we can have life eternal with him. That's the good news. Now, if there is anybody else preaching that you need to do this or do that in order to have eternal life, let him be eternally condemned. Let him be set aside because he is perverting that which God says to be right. The problem with the church at Galatia is people came in after them and said, well, Paul was good at what he was doing, but you need to be doing these things too if you want to be a real Christian. If you want to be right, if you want to be acceptable, then you need to be doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this, and you need to do it just right. You need to wear a necktie. You need to wear a dress, ladies. No makeup on. And your hair pulled back. And long. No jewelry. Nothing gaudy. Just plain, simple stuff. And if you don't abide by any of these, you can't be a Christian. Isn't that amazing? The problem comes into play, and we're going to get into what legalism is, but we need to focus on our liberty, our freedom that we have in Christ, instead of the regulations, instead of trying to earn our way toward Him. The church at Galatia was faced with the conflict. Paul was there for a short time, and then he left, and then these others come in and give this other teaching, and they start being swayed toward that. Paul's writing them a letter, said, get back in line. Get back doing what you know to be right. Get back to the gospel. Get back to the foundation that I have given to you. Because even if I came back and said, well, no, you need to be doing this, this, and this, and mess up with the gospel, then let me be condemned. Let anybody else be condemned. Let even an angel be condemned if he is preaching something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a world today in which from pulpits is preached so much hogwash, and people are lapping it up. People are thriving on that, and they're dying on the vine. If I preach anything except for the Word of God, let me be condemned. And if I'm not preaching the Word of God, get rid of me. You do not need a pastor that is not going to preach from God's Word. You do not need a pastor who is not going to love you with the love of Jesus Christ. You do not need any church leaders. You do not need any others around you who are not going to give you that which God has designed for you. And when we settle for second best, we settle for that which is least. God wants us to have the best. God wants us to know Him. And if we're going to settle for anything else and seek the approval of others, then we're running after something that's not there. Jesus gives us liberty. What is liberty? Liberty is being free from something so that you can do something. The problem with when you take away somebody's liberty, they are not free to do anything except what you want them to do. How many of you are masters? Masters. I'm not talking golf. How many of you are masters? Exactly. Not a one of you. In fact, as I look out, every one of us has been a sinner, so all of us have been slaves. We have been slaves. We are set free from our slavery of sin. We're set free from our slavery to the things of this world so that we can serve the master. But when we start trying to please other slaves, we become enslaved once again. And that's the issue that Paul is directing to this church and to our church. Remember, this is God's word to us. And God doesn't want us to go back and eat the slop any longer. He wants us to be nourished on the good stuff. He wants us to be nourished from Himself. He doesn't want us to be nourished on the things of this world, on the things that we want to do. He wants us to be nourished on the things that He has in store for us. He has set us free. So we are now free to choose to do the things that are right. We are free to do that which is correct. Our freedom does not allow us to do the things that we desire. Our freedom allows us to be pleasing to the Master who has given us that freedom. His name is Jesus, by the way. And He is the one whom we can serve. Let me just kind of prove this to you. Go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let me give you the setting. The first part of chapter 4 is where Jesus has the temptation in the wilderness, where He faces off with Satan. And He is tempted there in the wilderness, and He comes through the temptation using God's word against Satan and proves Himself as the Son of God to be free from sin. Now, this is significant because everyone who was born on the face of the earth is born with the taint of sin. We are tainted with sin. Every one of us was born into sin. And we have succumbed to the temptation. We have violated God's law. We have violated God's ways. We have rebelled against God. Every one of us. And the wages of sin is death. Every one of us. But Jesus shows that He is different. He is tempted, yet without sin. And He comes through this temptation with Satan himself, without sin. And as we look in chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 18, Jesus is in His own hometown. He went home. He's in Nazareth. And He's at the synagogue, as was His practice. On the Sabbath, He goes to the synagogue. Every good Jew does that. Every Christian is in church on Sunday morning at 10:15. Amen? We were in Texas, it'd be at 11 o'clock. And here in Wisconsin, we do it at 10:15 because the Packers play. And there's a lot of truth to that too, isn't there? Jesus is at the synagogue. And on this day, as Jesus has come into the synagogue, they hand Him the scrolls to be read for that day. They unroll the scroll to the prophet Isaiah. And they ask for Jesus to have the privilege and the honor of reading to the assembly what the prophet Isaiah says. And this is what Jesus reads. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What was the prophet Isaiah? What was it that he said? Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. I have been anointed. I am the one that you are looking for. The anointed one. That's who all of Israel was waiting for, is the anointed one. He says, I have been anointed by the Spirit of the Lord to preach the good news to those who are poor. Every one of us without Christ is poor. And we need that good news. We need to know that there's something more than just this world. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. He has come to liberate us. Jesus came to give us liberty because every one of us is caught up in our sin. We are prisoners in our sin. He has come to give us freedom from that. He's come to release those who are oppressed. He's come to release us from the burdens that this world imposes upon us, the things that Satan tries to push us down about. Jesus releases us from that. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now is the time for the Lord. Now is the time for this liberty. Now is the time for us to be liberated. Now is the time for us to be free. And the people went wild. I need some cue cards up here. The people then didn't go wild. This was not good news to them. They were at the synagogue going through the motions, doing everything that they had always done because this was the thing to do. Some of you, I hope not, but some of you perhaps have come here this morning because this is Sunday morning and this is what is expected of you, to just come to church. It's something that you've always done. It's something that, well, they're going to think bad of me if I don't go, so I'm just going to go. That's not freedom. That's not liberty. That's bondage. That's bondage. God wants us to be free. God wants us to live free. And what Jesus is giving to them is His emancipation proclamation. You've heard that before, right? He is emancipating. He is proclaiming to you that you are enslaved, and I want to free you from that. I want to release you from that. I want you to live free so that now you can enjoy God's blessings. Now He declares you are free to worship God in spirit and in truth. You no longer have to just sit and go through the motions and sit and rote and stand up and do this and say this and do that. You know, no more! It is now by His Spirit and in truth that we can worship Him. Earlier this morning, I'm reading a book on worship. And what he was saying, I had already prepared the message, and he was saying exactly the same thing. What he was saying is that we need to free ourselves from the things of this world so that we can worship God. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, you worship God. And we come together to worship the Lord. Yes, we sing the same songs. We even sang a song this morning that the men are singing one thing and the ladies are singing another. Really, that song sounds like a mess, doesn't it? Until we get to the end of the phrase. You are the Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. And we sing that together. And that seems to be the way, the many times that we come. We are apart in many ways. We're different in many ways, but we always come together. And it sounds beautiful because it's harmonizing in the process and trying to get there, and then it comes together. And what a blessing. Jesus came to liberate us. Jesus came to show us His way. John chapter 8, He tells us that we will be free. John chapter 8, as Jesus is at the temple, the Pharisees are trying to impose upon Jesus many different things. He teaches them the truth. He tells them that He is His own witness with the Father. He and the Father are witnesses to these truths, because they wanted to know why He was teaching the things that He was doing. In John chapter 8, verse 31, there were some that had believed Him. And so to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth." And you know the rest of this phrase. "And the truth will set you free." And they answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants. And we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your fathers." That's when they said, "Well, Abraham's our father." And Jesus says, "No, Satan is. When you follow the ways of sin, Satan is your father." But when you follow the ways of Christ, you can call God Father. Folks, we need to be free. We need to know the truth. And we need to know that Jesus is the truth. And He will set us free. He sets us free from the ways of sin. He sets us free from the darkness. He sets us free from the things of this world. He sets us free from the entanglement all around us so that we can live for Him. Let me give you a good verse in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Folks, I offer to you this verse because there is no condemnation for you if you are in Christ Jesus. God's not going to condemn you because you are in Christ Jesus. You have been forgiven of your sins. You have been set free from your sins. And mankind may condemn you, but their condemnation doesn't matter. They may think ill of you. They may think that you're a loser because you're following Jesus. It doesn't matter what they think. Go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul said, "I'm not trying to please men. I need to please God. I need to be in His service. If I'm pleasing men, I'm not serving Him. I need to please God." We need to be set free. We need to be liberated from the things that keep us, hold us back from serving God. What is so interesting about this message is I am preaching to myself. I'm preaching to me. By nature, I am a people pleaser. Anybody else? Heard that hand? We try to please others. We want everybody to be happy. We want to fit in. We want to make sure that, you know, this, that, and everything is just right. You know what? It doesn't matter. There's one person that we need to please, and His name is Jesus. And unless you're pleasing in His sight, you're not pleasing anybody. I've been in the ministry over 20 years, and I have yet to please everybody. My first week here, we had people leave the church. Now, that's a shot. "Glad to have you, Pastor. See ya." You don't fit into the mold that I want you to fit into, so I'm leaving. Now, this is not to be crass in any way, but I was glad. Nothing against them. But if they are going to be frustrated, if they were going to be irritated with my being here, then I was going to be irritated too. And it was not going to be a pleasant situation. Were they right? Is I wrong? Those questions will have to be answered later when we stand before the Father. I'm in the, just started last week with the Getting to Know Graceway class. And today, this afternoon, we're meeting at 4:30 instead of this morning because the couple that's in it wasn't going to be here this morning. So we're meeting this afternoon. We're starting with the Baptist Faith and Message. What are the things that we believe? And one of the foundational things that we have as Baptists, and this is going to be information for all of you because most of you do not know this. Most of you are not aware that we stand before God alone. We stand before God alone. You do not have to answer for me, and I do not have to answer for you. We will have to give account for the things that we did and did not do. God is going to hold us accountable. It's called the soul's accountability. Each one of us is held accountable. And we need to get it right so that we can be pleasing to God and not just please everybody else. Are we any less because we do not have a Saturday evening service? Are we any less because we have a Sunday morning service? What's right? What's the right way? What's the way to have church? Did you realize this morning we had two songs and then the announcement instead of one song and the announcement? And in some ways, that may have taken you back a little bit and made you a little bit uncomfortable. Good! We need to get out of the rut. We need to get out of the pattern, because it is not a pattern. It is about freely worshiping God with liberality. Do you realize that God says you can give in a liberal sense? You don't have to give just 10%. You can give more than that. Did you realize that? God wants us to live for Him. He doesn't want us to meet everybody else's expectations. And that's what we need to understand from this passage. Paul is saying, look, I gave to you the gospel. I want you to understand the gospel, and I want you to live out the gospel. Look in Galatians chapter 2. He says, he'd relate to them the last part of chapter 1, some of the part of his testimony of how he grew in the Lord. He says, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. And I took Titus along also. I went in response to revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. He tells them, I went up to Jerusalem before, but I had to go up again because there were some issues that were going on in the Christian community. And the issue of Gentiles coming into the fold, coming into the family, was a bother to the Jews because they were not being circumcised. They accepted the gospel, they were born again, they were brought into the kingdom, but they did not go through the rites of circumcision. They weren't observing the Jewish laws. They weren't doing things just right. And they were called to account. And so I went and I shared with them the gospel I've been preaching, and that was acceptable to them. And they were surprised that the Gentiles were even being won with that. But those that were with me, they weren't bothered about not being circumcised. Even though there were infiltrators that were saying, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. That's called legalism. Liberty is challenged by legalism. It is by grace that you are saved through faith, right? It's not by your works. It's not by doing things just right. It's not by having the right service. It's not by having the right setup. If we had, and this came up Wednesday night, turning the chairs around facing that way, wouldn't that be awesome? That way we could see anybody coming in the door. Wouldn't that be fun? Can you think, you know, somebody that may be coming in like at 11 or even, you know, about now? They would see us all looking at them. That'd just be hilarious. Want to turn around and leave, right? and we'd see them leaving. It doesn't have to be so. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be our way. It has to be God's way. That's the whole point of this. When you start getting legalistic, when you start saying, well, you need to abide by this, by this, by this, by this, otherwise you are not a Christian or you are not a good believer. That's legalism. Legalism defined as an attitude or a way of thought that is based upon an element, get this, of pride. This is the way I think is best, and this is the way you're going to do it. It's an element of pride. I know best, you don't, so do it my way. That's legalism. Folks, when we are liberated by Jesus, there will always be challenges to our liberty. There will always be challenges to our freedom. And there are times you have to fight for your freedom. We know this in American history with the Revolutionary War. We know this in American history from the Civil War. You have to fight for freedom. You have to fight against the enslavement of mankind. And folks, I dare tell you that we need to fight for our freedom in Christ. But realize it is not against flesh and blood that we are fighting. It's against the spiritual forces of darkness, the powers against the body of Christ. This is what's going to come and try to encapsulate us and enclose us. That's why when Paul was, back in chapter 1, when Paul was talking about let them be eternally condemned, somebody's come in, they're throwing you into confusion, trying to pervert the gospel. This is the heresy that came in. The gospel that Paul gave you, that was partially there, but you need to do this, this, and this. No, that's heresy. And we need to call it what it is, and we need to decipher for what it is, but we need to remain true to the gospel. We need to remain true to God. Galatians 2:4 says that these brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ, but we did not give in to them. Verse 6, as for those who seemed to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearances. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles just as Peter had been to the Jews. And so as he's standing before the others in Jerusalem, he's showing them and convincing them that his preaching to the gospel of to the Gentiles was the same as Peter's preaching the gospel to the Jews, that God was in all of this, and we need to follow what God is doing. We don't need to enact man's laws, man's ways upon that which God has given to us. We can't add to it. We can't subtract from it. We must remain true to God. We cannot pervert what God has given to us. Legalism will pervert what God's call is upon your life. Legalism says you need to do this and this. Real Christians preach like this. Real Christians do this. Would I be a real preacher if I did not have a jacket and a tie on this morning? What if I wore an earring? I hesitate a little bit on that one. What if I had different skin color? What if I didn't have any hair? You see, we begin to lay things down and say, well, it has to be this way. It has to be this way. What if we don't end by 11:15? By the way, it's long past that. Legalism results in hypocrisy. Legalism results in hypocrisy. Paul outlines the hypocrisy that even Peter had Look at verse 11, Galatians 2, starting at verse 11. He says, when Peter came to Antioch, and that's where Paul and Barnabas had been teaching and preaching for quite some time. It was at Antioch that they were sent out on their missionary journeys, and they came back, and they continued to preach and teach there. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. And when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Peter had come to Antioch, and Peter was having a great time, enjoying the fellowship of the Gentile believers there, and everything was fine until some others came from the church in Jerusalem, sent by James, the brother of Jesus, the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He had sent these others to shore up and say, wow, what is going on? Because Peter hasn't come back. He hasn't given us a report. And they come, and Peter goes, oh, I know that these guys think that circumcision is the way. So I need to satisfy them. And he began to withdraw from the Gentile fellowship and focus more with the Jews, beginning separation. So that when he did this, the peer pressure of others along with him, even Barnabas, began to withdraw from the people that he had been teaching and preaching to for over a year. And Paul said, enough! Peter, didn't you have a vision? Didn't you see the sheet let down and the animals there? Didn't God tell you to go ahead and eat and take of the animals because he has declared them to be clean? And didn't you convince others that this is God's way of saying that the Gentiles can receive the gospel too? You're a Jew, but you're living like a Gentile. How can you expect the Gentiles to live like a Jew? Get off your high horse. Stop your legalism, because you're a hypocrite in that. Here's how hypocrisy occurs when you become legalistic. You take a stand on something, but you don't live it out. You have to read from the King James Bible, and the King James Bible only, because that's the only authorized version of the Scriptures. Okay? There are people that will take a stand on that. Diane, correct me if I'm wrong, but the passage that we read this morning was not from the King James. Ah, gotcha. Was it heresy because we read from another version? The answer is no. But if you say that that's the only version that you can read from, and anything else is heresy, and you just read from that, you're a heretic. You must go to church every Sunday. You must study your Bible in private every day. And if you miss a day, you're not a Christian. And you miss a day, you've just become a hypocrite. The problem is, when you have all of these steadfast rules and regulations that need to be abided by men, and you don't follow in with it, those who are looking at your life saying, well, he's not doing it, why should I? Here's the tragedy in this. When we get so staunch in our homes and we instruct our children this is the right way, but they see us doing the other way, they see the hypocrisy and they say, it doesn't matter. As was discussed in our Sunday school message this morning, if it doesn't matter, why would I want to participate in it? And we think ill of the youth of today because they're not attending church services. The reason they're not is because of us. We're the ones at fault because we've not lived it out. live out the grace of God. Don't live out man's rules. That's what Paul's trying to get across to the church at Galatia. Don't abide by the rules that have been imposed upon you. Live by grace. Live out God's grace. Let it be alive in you. Let it be seen in you. Let it be thoroughly enjoyed. Because if it's not real to you, it won't be real. Galatians chapter 3, and you can read this on your own. It is a comparison and argument about the law and faith and the fallacy of human effort to seek God's favor. We can never seek God's favor by the things that we do. The only way we can receive God's favor is by His grace. The reality of all this comes at the end of Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 26. It says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We are heirs according to the promise, not by our birth, not by what we say. We are heirs according to the promise by our faith and our trust in Him. He has given us that privilege. He has given us that right. We need to show that our faith is real. And as we show our faith is real, then we will be able to show them who Jesus is. Live by grace. As I look out at you, I know none of you are perfect. You're going to slip up every once in a while. Some of you have slipped up already today. But you know what? There's grace. I know you're not going to be perfect. And I can still enjoy fellowship with you. What are we to do with all of this? Very quickly, stand firm. We need to stand firm in the freedom that is given to us by grace through Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Stand firm in your freedom. Know of your freedom in Christ, and stand there. Secondly, live in the freedom that He has given to you. Live it out. Refuse to be bound by others' rules and regulations that they want to impose upon you, but remain in God's favor. Again, be pleasing in His sight instead of trying to please everybody else. He is the one who has given you grace. By the way, you cannot please others anyway, so why try, right? The third thing, live out the truth of God's grace. Just live it out. Let it be the truth in your life. Let it be evident in your life. In everything that you do, let your lifestyle be that which is in Christ. Having an honest walk of integrity with Him. It is His truth that has set you free. Let your life be free indeed. Know that He has legalized your liberty. He paid the price. He has legalized it for you to be free. So live free. Don't be bound by the rules of mankind. We can stand competent before God because of the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to live in that liberty. Live in that freedom. And don't let others get you down. As I was preparing for this message, there are a host of different illustrations of how we could do this. I'm going to let you run wild with that. Because we all have our preferences, we all have our prejudices of what we think is right, what we think ought to be. But you know what? It doesn't matter what pleases us. The only thing that matters is it pleasing to God? Let everything that you do, everything that you say, be pleasing in His sight. And who cares if you offend others? You're pleasing God. And you try to please others, most likely you're going to offend God. You're not going to face others on Judgment Day, but you will face Him. So where's your focus? Father, we thank You that You have given to us the opportunity to be free. You do not desire for us to be slaves. You do not impose slavery upon us. Even as Your servants, You treat us with dignity and respect. Not only as servants, You adopt us into the family. Father, it doesn't get any better than that. And for this, we are grateful. We praise You that You have given to us the opportunity to serve. You have freed us from sin so that we can serve and do that which is righteous. And we couldn't do that before, but now we have that capability. Lord, thank You for making the way. We pray that You would instill in us, even today, a mindset of freedom rather than legalism. Let us take off our hypocrisy and let us stand strong for You. Let us live the truth, because it is the truth that has set us free. Lord Jesus, You've done amazing things in our lives by giving us life. Help us to live for You, and bless us as we do. We ask in Your name. Amen. Invitation today is for you to be free from the legalism, be free from the sin, be free from the things that are holding you back so that you can serve God. I don't know what that may be. For each of you, it's going to be something a little bit different. And that's the beauty that God has with us. He deals with us on a personal basis. It's not everybody together. It's individually. So as the Lord is dealing with you, you respond to Him. Do you have to walk the aisle? No. You don't have to. Did you realize you can join our church without walking the aisle? Some people say that we're not a Southern Baptist church. Let them say it. It doesn't make us any different. We need to be pleasing to God. As He's challenging you right now, is there something that you need to make a public decision on? I challenge you. Make it public today. Let's all stand. We're going to sing. We won't be long. But you respond to the Lord in a way that is fitting.